Hello, welcome to Spotlight, brightening the gloomy corners of your life with creative brilliance.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, as we edge ever nearer to the Year of Manx Language in 2026, we hear about projects which have been selected for Trecht. Catch up with the latest round of Arts Council funding for aspiring artistic events and happenings island-wide. Chat to two members of the renowned former Mercury-nominated Portico Quartet ahead of their first ever gig on the island at the King's Court Theatre this weekend, and a poem from new bard Bradley Chambers. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in planning, hoping to create, or would really like to, you know it, put in the spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, music, literature, ceramics, sculpture, drag, film, mime, social media, digital, calligraphy. Oh, the list goes on and on. I forget a lot of them, probably more than I remember. Just email me, howardcaine@manxradio.com, C-A-I-N-E for Kane, or spotlight@manxradio.com. Love to hear from you. Let's get you on the programme. How do we fit it all in, you might ask? Well, 2026 is the Year of the Manx Language, a year-long celebration of our native tongue. As part of this, Culture Vannin launched Trecht 26, a major programme asking for fresh and innovative ideas to inspire fresh thinking about the Manx language itself and how it's perceived. Now, 30 projects ranging from a Manx passport and murals to podcasts and pop songs have been selected to be developed and delivered through 2026, with each receiving £500 in funding, practical support and guidance from the charity. To find out more, I spoke to the encourager herself, CV's Ruth Kegan-Gale, and suggested to her it sounded like they'd had rather a good response.
Yes, absolutely. So the Year of the Manx Language in 2026 is a year-long celebration for the Manx language. It's very much going to involve all of the community on the Isle of Man, and actually we hope further afield, if people can get involved and support the Manx language from wherever else they live in the world, that'd be wonderful. And for part of that year, Culture Vannin decided that we would put out something called Trecht 26. So Trecht means confidence, hope, trust. It's got a few nice meanings. And the idea behind it is that we defined a certain amount of projects and we put these out to the public so that they could apply for them. And each project has £500 pot of money attached to it. And so myself and my colleagues, and we're just a small team here, decided we'd like to see various things happen for the language, celebrating all different facets of the language. And it's really, by putting these out, these different projects, is a way of helping people engage with the language, to get inspired and excited by creative responses to the language as well, and also see new faces for the language too. We had over 80 ideas that came in from individuals, businesses and community groups, and I think that really highlights a real hunger to connect with the Manx language as well in creative ways. And what was really nice is that a lot of those applications came from people we'd not heard about before. You know, there were new faces to us, new faces to the Manx language, and that in itself is a major success, because we want people to know that the Manx language is for everybody. It doesn't matter who they are, you know, whether the island has been their home since birth, or they've chosen to make it home, or maybe they don't even live here, but they want to engage with the language and bring it to new communities, then it's for them.
It's lovely that there's new people, as you say, coming out of the woodwork to sort of help celebrate this. And was there a broad spectrum of different ideas?
Oh, absolutely, because as I say, we had already kind of come up with quite a few ideas ourselves, and we'd outlined various projects, but there was also a bit of flexibility for people to propose their own ideas as well. And some of them were absolutely amazing. We would never have thought of them ourselves. So I think it was really important for there to be that flexibility in there for people to apply with their own ideas as well. But yes, we have basically given 30 different projects out, and they're going to be really delivered throughout the year. So some of them will be delivered at the start of the year, ready for the year in January, or just before the year has started. And then some of them will be delivered as we go through the year. So there will always be things coming through. Some of them are very, you know, actual physical products that are going to be delivered. So things like, you know, stickers and stamps with positive affirmations of Manx on, that will be delivered in different community settings for free, or murals celebrating and utilising Manx Manx, or community art projects as well. So there's kind of visual art side of things, but also some connect with music. So for example, new songs for school choirs or new songs that can be utilised in school settings and in classrooms. But there's all sorts of things as well, like new Manx lessons for new different communities who haven't accessed those before. So many different ideas. I mean, one that I'm excited about as well, I'm excited about them all, I'm going to say.
Of course I am.
But two that I was really excited are visual arts responses to celebrate diversity, accessibility and inclusivity. Because Manx, as a living language, it has been spoken over, you know, here for over 1,500 years. It has to represent and reflect the whole community. So those projects will engage with identities and experiences, things like neurodiversity and disability. And actually, that'll really help people access those words as well, and see that, you know, the Manx language, like any other language, is constantly evolving, and, you know, new words are created in response to different things that we are talking about in communities.
Well, it's an interesting point that you say new words are created. Is there a process for that, or how does that work?
There is a process, yes, absolutely. So we have something called Cúnseal na Gaeilge, and that receives some funding from Culture Vannin. It's sort of an advisory part of Culture Vannin, and it's made up of different individuals, basically. Cúnseal na Gaeilge means the Manx Language Advisory Board, or Council of the Manx Language, essentially. And it's basically getting lots of different people together to discuss what new words should be created. I mean, this happens in lots of different language communities, and you look at other things as well that are happening around the world. I think, for me, I'm very inspired by Te Reo Māori, which is spoken in New Zealand, and the way that they are very, very deeply researching and thinking about the creation of new words and thinking very deeply behind that. So you look at other language communities around the world as well. But yes, so we have basically a committee of people who come up with new words when they're needed, and of course they will be needed.
And one thing that might be useful, or might actually come into that category, is I think I saw a project to translate pop songs into Manx. I suppose that might possibly need some words that hitherto weren't used in the Manx language.
It depends what those words are, absolutely. Mm. Yes, this is true. I mean, I suppose if you look at a lot of pop songs, the language that is used throughout is normally fairly easy to translate, but you do sometimes have to go around things in a different way. So, for example, you'll have rhymes in the English language in a pop song. Well, how then do you get the same sense across and then still have rhymes going on in the Manx language? So we're really excited to see. So somebody has got that project, so we're excited to see what they do. They have got a track record of being an excellent person for translation. I won't say who their name is, I won't put them on the spot, but they've done some really fantastic work and dealt creatively and poetically with words before, so that'll be really fun to see.
Is it harder language to rhyme, do you think, Manx Gaelic compared to English?
I mean, Manx has rhymes in it, just like it does in English, but I think, you know, you need to come from, I always think you need to come from it, from the Manx first, rather than, well, what I mean by that, I suppose, is if you're trying to shoehorn things in, it's going to be a bit harder. And I'm assuming that it will be, I mean, I don't write lyrics, I'm not a lyric writer myself particularly, I'm a musician, but I tend to take already pre-written lyrics and write songs to them. That's much easier. But I imagine it would be much easier coming with an idea in Manx first and then writing. So actually translating things from English that have rhymed into Manx and then needing it to rhyme is such an amazing skill. And we see people like Bob Carswell, who has done loads and loads of things like this, and it's just such a skill. It's amazing.
And so these projects, the ones you mentioned there, and obviously plenty more going ahead, do they have each have a set time scale, or just going forward now, how does that work?
Well, some of them will come out. For example, some of the resources for schools would be nice to have at the very start of the year, so they might be used in things like the Manx Folk Awards, for example, where you've got songs for school choirs or for schools generally. We also have 4 traced projects where we hope they'll form part of a major Manx language exhibition, which will be taking place at the Manx Museum in Douglas, running from April to October, over 6 months. And We think this is hugely important because the exhibition basically offers a national platform to showcase the language and showcase how it's inspiring creativity and community and connection as well. So there'll be things like films that will be produced as part of the Trace projects, which we hope to show, and also a community artwork involving the Manx diaspora, which we'd love to be able to have in there as well. And those projects are very powerful, I think, and they will help really show about identity and belonging and connection and that sense of place that the Manx language helps underpin and weave everything together, really. If you are interested in finding out more about the Year of the Manx Language, you can visit yearofmanx.im and you can follow Culture Vanin on Facebook or Instagram, because we'll be updating throughout 2025 and 2026. As I say, the whole year is actually organised by GBEN, the Manx Language Network. Culture Vanin is just one member of that, but we will be shouting about it to the sky and beyond, so please have a look. And also, if you're interested, keep an eye out for more funding opportunities coming up and exciting projects and events.
Exactly, and I was just going to actually say exactly that. Is there sort of going to be another round of funding and also more Trace type projects?
There will be other funding opportunities for sure. Keep an eye out on www.yearofmanx.im for all of the news. And also, if you have any ideas yourself on things you could do to support the Manx language, it could be to put on your own community event, it could be to utilise some Manx in your business or your community group or whatever. Do get in touch, because we can help with that. We have a translation service which is free to use for community use, translations@culturevanin.im, and we'd love to hear from you. Everyone, get involved. You can be involved with Manx language no matter what your level of the Manx language that you have already, whether you're a complete beginner or curious about Manx through to a fluent speaker. This year is for you.
Be fascinating to hear or see perhaps some of these projects come to fruition. Manx pop songs. Are they going to write them themselves? Translate existing ones? That would be even better. I'd love to hear some of the songs we feature here on Manx Radio, sung in Manx Gaelic. Give it to me, baby. By The Offspring, in Manx. Wonderful.
Spotlight. Brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Speaking of funding for our friends at the Isle of Man Arts Council, well, it's their bread and butter, supporting artistic happenings around the Isle of Man in a variety of ways. Now, before I left Martin Kane in our latest catch-up on council happenings, I asked him for an update on funding and if there was a busier or quieter time of the year for them.
It's pretty much throughout the year, really. We'll have, obviously, there's the different funding rounds, and then the projects that are being funded go and do their projects or their events. But because the funding rounds happen throughout the year, it's just constantly always on, really.
Where are we now? Because as you say, it is always going on. We always like to catch up just to remind people, really, that this opportunity is there for funding if you have a project or whatever. So where are we at the moment within the funding round?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're kind of halfway through, really. So we've just had one. And the next deadline for the next funding round is the 19th of September. And the one after that is the 21st of November. And then that will be therefore meetings in October and December. So yeah, there's a couple more left for this year.
And just give us a pricey then of anything. So how do these actually work? Are these are to support, in essence, either artistic events or happenings or shows, or is it all the above?
Yeah, absolutely. There's maybe four different types of funds. The more specialist ones are things like short film funds and creative industry funds. So the short film one kind of speaks for itself. The creative industries one is if you have a new creative business that you're starting up, or if you have an existing business and you want to kind of pivot the product or service in a more creative way, then there's a fund there to help you set that side up. And then outside of that, the two main ones that we have are event underwrites. So if you have a ticketed event and you think it's going to be a good event, but you're a bit nervous about whether it's going to break even or you think it's going to make a loss, Arts Council can underwrite the loss for you. And then quite simply, the other fund is our grant fund, and that's for everything else, really. it's quite a diverse fund, really. And so, as you say, that can be for events that aren't ticketed. It can be for projects that you've got. It could be for equipment that you might need. whether that's like a kiln if you're a potter. It can be if you have an exhibition coming up and you need some work framing, it can be for that sort of thing. If you're a musician and you need some studio time, recording studio time, it can be for that. So yeah, it's quite a varied pot really.
And I think that's the whole thing. I always think exactly that. It is a very varied pot, as you say, and just the sheer scope of things which can and do receive funding so they can happen from the Arts Council. You do see increasingly, which is great. You go to events, you go to shows, you go to exhibitions, and you'll see, you know, with grateful thanks to the Arts Council. So I think it gets out there, but I sometimes think, you know, sometimes smaller people, jewellers, people, artists working in relative isolation don't always realise, you know, just pretty much as you say, it's a very varied pot. You can apply for funding for all sorts of things as long as there's an artistic bent to it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of one of those things that's sort of limited by your imagination. A little bit, you know, and the amount of times that I speak to people and they sort of sit down and say, okay, I've got this idea, I've got this wild idea. And by the time they explain it, you go, that's not that wild. And yes, council will absolutely fund something like that. So, you know, it's, or you can always, if you've got an idea for something creative, as I say, whether it's a project or an event or whatever it might be, or you're doing a creative practice in whatever way that is at the moment, you're always welcome to come into the office and have a chat about where the funding might be available. There is a criteria on our website that's things that council won't fund. It's quite a straightforward list. So anything outside of that, you absolutely apply for.
And the money itself, is it lottery money that actually funds it?
Yeah. So it's from lottery ticket sales. What we find is you see the adverts for lottery on television, and it might be, I think there was one not long ago where there was a guy on a beach, and then all of a sudden he was in a museum, and then he was at a football match. Yeah, and that was kind of their way of saying, this is what happens when you buy lottery tickets. Okay, so the tax from those tickets go to fund museums and grassroots football, and in our case over here, it goes to fund the arts over here. It's a great initiative. It can be a bit interesting sometimes because it's based on lottery ticket sales. If the nation as a whole is feeling quite lucky, they buy more tickets, so we get more money. But if they're not feeling very lucky, they don't buy more tickets. And so yeah, we have to kind of balance out the year a bit. But it's sort of a great way to do it.
It is indeed. And there's also events that are organised throughout the year as well as people putting in for these funding. And we should also mention, of course, travel grants. Students and drama students and art students quite often get funding for these sort of their travel arrangements as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've just done our student funds for the year. And that goes out to 6 students, which will be putting a big press release out about who they are soon. They can spend their grants on things like travel to and from the island. We do have a specialised domestic travel grant, which is if you want to go to an exhibition, you want to sort of display your work in an exhibition, you're going away to play a concert, if that's in the UK or Ireland, then you can look for travel assistance and accommodation for that as well.
You never know until you ask, as my dad used to say. So if you've got any ideas you'd like to bring to reality, get in touch with the Arts Council, have a chat with Martin or some of the others, and who knows where it might end. Before I forget, we heard from Mandy Griffin in the last week or two, and if you'd like to get involved with the Isle of Man Choral Society this year, then this is an ideal time, as rehearsals for next year's major work are just about to get underway. The first one, Thursday at 7:30 p.m. St Andrews in Douglas, that's the 11th of September. And the first rehearsal is an open affair, so you can go along with no costs or strings attached and see if you like it. I can't for the life of me think why you wouldn't. They're a very friendly bunch. It's in Douglas. Mandy's an excellent leader. And they're singing the wonderful Carl Jenkins, the Armed Man, and also Philip Stopford's Misadeus Nabiscum at the Villa Marina with full orchestra next March the 29th. What a great way to fill your winter months singing on a Thursday evening every few weeks. How about some poetry from our new bard, Bradley Chambers?
This is called The Peat Cutters. They'd tax the air you breathe, he huffed as he stood in the mud of the lag. Would they could. He dug and hauled the excavated turf to me, to load into his car parked down on Brandywell Road, then left to dry on the concrete roof of the shed. It burned a smoke which evoked our closeness to the land. Pennypot, the Turbary peatlands, but there are holes. 5,000 years of blanket bog, supplanted by dry heath. The fail sliced the landscape. Try living with what we had. I don't know what will kill us first. We hack this land for fuel like generations did. My energy to duel with you runs low.
I'm sure we all have visions of those peat piles and peat cutters in our minds now, perhaps even the wisps or smell of peat smoke. My memsahib even has memories of peat cutting with her dad. Don't think you can do it now, can you? Now, if you were listening last week, you will have heard Cornelia Dahlgren, the creative mind behind Waves of Wonder, a new project for Island Shores, hoping to bring over artists to perform here who would never otherwise be seen on these shores, and team them up with the wealth of local talent we've got on the Isle of Man in a concert setting. Her first outing, 13th of September, King's Court Theatre, at King Bill's, of course, down in Castletown, features the genre-defying Portico Quartet, along with local talent Kittleland and soundologist and biosphere artist-in-residence Amy Howes. Well, with my jumping in jazz hat on, Brother Chris and I caught a few words with at least half of the quartet, saxman Nick Mulvey and drummer and electronics whiz Duncan Bellamy, and over a slightly dubious Zoom line, asked them what they were intending to be performing at their first ever Isle of Man gig.
I think it's probably going to be mainly music that it's probably not going to be new music. It's going to be music from probably our latest sort of like our last few records mainly, I think. Yeah.
And is there? I believe I was reading again just below that is a new album in the making, as it were, or currently underway. Where are we on that one?
I think it's been in the making for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
It's totally. I did it. Yeah, we've made some things, we've made some music, but I don't know if that's part of an album or not yet. But we're just kind of experimenting, you know, taking it kind of easy, seeing what comes out when we get together, not putting too much pressure on it. There will probably be an album at some point, but I don't know how soon or how near that will be, you know.
Do you think the other thing which is interesting is the growth of minimalism as an influence across a lot of ambient styles of music? You've got Hanya Rani, you've got Promises, which was Pharoah Sanders with Floating Points a couple of years ago, doing very well. You've got Mammal Hands, of course, who came along. So there's a lot of people in an area that's similar. Do you think the audience is now more used to listening to pattern-based music? Do you think it's a more comfortable crossover into jazz?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's this thing where a lot of people who listen to dance music in the, growing up in the 90s, late 80s, 90s, are now sort of in their 40s and 50s. And those kind of like dance music, that kind of repetitive loop-based music, not necessarily repetitive, but like, you know, kind of based around
sure.
I mean, I remember
ties into
sorry I was going to say I remember medicine. In my teens that Tangerine Dream was a coming influence, of course, and Steve Reich and lots of other people like that at the time, but I think it's moved into more of a mainstream perhaps through dance music.
I think those people who you would have been out raving in the 90s are now going to the Barbican and want something that still connects to something that connects to those experiences. I think that's why minimalism feels like it's feels comfortable for people in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Well, it's also very accessible, isn't it? And it's kind of easy to grasp in a sense.
How do you actually view it? I mean, or the audience views it? Because we mentioned sort of dance music there, and you played in all sorts of different venues. Do you find people do get up and move to it now, or is it are they sort of, you know, older farts like us? We sort of I'll sit and listen and really enjoy and absorb and sort of get into the whole ambience of the thing. Do you get a crossover or a real mix on that?
I think it depends what kind of venue we play. Really, you do get people that dance when in standing venues. There's more of a kind of like a head nod generally than a full-on dance. You won't get people... You might get a few people having a like a proper rave, proper little boogie. But...
Yeah, we'll be the head nodders. Yeah, we'll be nodding.
Nodding or nodding off. Yes, it did.
And playing again, so you're going to have, it'll be the two of you, of course, and then Milo, and you've got, Tasmodi on the hung and keyboards as well?
That's correct.
And how long have you been playing with Taz? Has he been with the band for a while now? I'm not too sure on that one.
Taz's been playing with us, less than on and off, for probably 5 years now, or 4 years, or something like that, Taz's been playing with us for a little while.
And it is quite a small, sort of intimate venue at the King's Court. Is that the sort of venue you actually like to get in? Because it will be relatively up close and personal compared to, as you say, some of the larger standing venues you've probably played in over the years. Is that something, I'm assuming, you haven't played on the Isle of Man before? If you have, I've certainly missed you, unfortunately. But...
No, we've never played in the Isle of Man before. It's actually a good friend of ours who actually appeared on our third album, Cornelia Dahlgren. But she is the organiser, I believe, of the festival.
She is.
So she got in touch with us, and yeah. So I've never been to the Isle of Man nor the King's Court Theatre, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I don't think I've even seen pictures of it, so yeah, it'll be a surprise.
Should be a great night. I'm gutted I can't be there due to a prior commitment. So let's hope they enjoy it. It sells out and Cornelia brings them back. See you next week. Don't know what's on yet, but it's bound to be good. In the meantime, be good. Whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Hey, Moo.